The title of our comments this morning are Come and See, and it's going to be a presentation about lessons from the story of Nathanael meeting Jesus. Well, we're all familiar with it, and let's get into some of the material. The story of Nathanael meeting Jesus is found only in one place, and that's John 1, verses 45 to 51. And Nathanael is only mentioned in the Gospel of John. And in the passage we'll be looking at, there obviously are only six verses. So that's it's fairly concise. But many Bible scholars believe that Nathanael and Bartholomew, who of course was one of the 12 apostles, were actually the same person. That's a very common thought. How exactly they met, we don't have explicit details because the narrative is so short. I like this picture where Nathanael's a little bit skeptical and our Lord is entreating him to come in. We don't know if that's what it looked like, but it's nice to have a visual. So let's look at the six verses. Well, I think we're going to go about two at a time. Just to start out reading them, John 1, 45, Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets," let me move my screen out of the way here, I can see it, "about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And then verse 46, Nazareth, like explanation, "Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked, and of course, we have the well-known response, and that is, "Come and see," by Philip. So Philip let his friend Nathanael know that he had met the promised Messiah and that Jesus was from Nazareth. Nathanael found it hard to believe that Jesus, the Messiah, would actually come from Nazareth. And so we might ask ourselves a question, what was wrong? What was so wrong or so bad about Nazareth? And there's several scriptures we could look at just quickly. One passage out of John, also John 7. Nicodemus, who had gone, now we know Nicodemus was becoming a believer. He was out of harmony with the other Pharisees who did not accept our Lord. So we read Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, "Does your law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing?" And they replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee." So that's interesting. Let's take a look at Galilee here. And you can see in the little map we have there, Upper Galilee and Lower Galilee, and you can see Nazareth directly below the Lower Galilee portion. So it was in Galilee. And they were actually wrong, because I think if we do some research, we will find that Jonah, Micah, and Elijah were from Galilee. So they just were simply incorrect. Anyway, that's was their declaration, and Philip referred to Jesus as, we'll note here, the son of Joseph, not the son of Mary. And, you know, that's a whole lesson in genealogy. The genealogy of Jesus back to Joseph, not really his father, but assumed, so to speak, is found in Matthew 1. You can do your, you know, if you might have studied that before, you can take a look at that later. And then through Mary is recorded in Luke 3, and that is the genealogy that goes back to David and provided essentially the title of the Messiah, the son of David. So we would say that Philip referred to Jesus as what we would call the presumed son of Joseph, and that's a whole nother topic unto itself. Notice that Philip did not argue or rebut Nathanael's objections. You know, when Nathanael said, "Well, can anything good come out of there, come from Nazareth?" He didn't really get into an argument with him. He just had a response, and that was, "Come and see." So that's an interesting phrase, three words, "Come and see." It's actually mentioned 10 times in the New Testament, or actually I think the Bible, I think including obviously the Old. So it's a relatively common phrase, and let's just take a minute and look at that. Look at that phrase. It kind of means, in other words, see for yourself or draw your own conclusion. It's like a no pressure response. Basically, Philip saying, I've made my decision. You make yours. And almost as if he was washing his hands of it. Just check it out if you want to. So it was a very wonderful way of having some dialogue with Nathaniel. Anyway, let's go back to the verses. Now 47 and 48. We'll go ahead and read them. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom is no deceit. The King James has no guile, I believe. And then how do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. So note that Jesus saw Nathanael approaching. Now, personally, I think this is a condensed version of what actually happened. I think there was a lot more to it to have this kind of discussion. Now, I obviously have no basis for that other than just thinking there's just too much in here, too tight. And it was just for brevity purposes and getting the key points. This is just a personal interpretation. I kind of imagine Nathanael approaching our Lord and those he was with and Jesus making eye contact with them a fair distance away. And maybe Nathanael, this is a lot of maybes, maybe Nathanael thought, well, is he looking at me? And got closer. And anyway, Jesus was looking at him. And as you can see here in the passage, Jesus saw Nathanael approaching. So it wasn't a surprise. He saw him coming maybe from a distance. And he said that there was no deceit in him, no guile, no hypocrisy. Basically, another word that can be used is honesty. The word guile in the Strong's is Strong's 1388, and it's the word, it's D-O-L-O-S. I don't know, dolus or dolus. And it literally means no deceit or being honest. And it was a wonderful greeting to Nathanael. Jesus clearly knew about the character of someone he had never met. So this was rather a miraculous statement when he first met him. This no doubt was intriguing to Nathanael, which is why he asked, well, how do you know me? And then we read, if you look up at the top there, 48, he said, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree. So this is not an expression we use today. So we might ask, what does under the fig tree mean? So let's just consider that for a moment. This is a fig tree, and they are wonderful trees for shade. They have very broad leaves, and especially in the climate in Israel, where it's often quite hot. This was considered, sitting under a fig tree, just a nice respite from the heat of the day. But it also means something more than just sitting under a fig tree. So anyway, Jesus either miraculously knew that Nathanael had a favored fig tree under which he sat to study, or he used sitting under a fig tree as a Jewish idiom, which was obviously popular in the day by definition, which means to study God's word. So either one, Jesus knew something about Nathanael having never met him, which I'm sure impressed Nathanael. Nathanael either had a favorite fig tree that he liked to sit under and study the word of God, or he was known for that. And that would be more of the idiom approach. But either way, it's must have been quite a surprise, if you will, to Nathanael. So we already see so far in very little words that Jesus, first of all, already knew about Nathanael's character, the no guile. Number two, he knew about Philip's conversation and the timing of it, he knew that they had had a discussion and before, you know, well, you can read it in the text later. He knew the kind of the sequence of it. And then number three, he was aware of Nathanael's devotion to studying the scriptures. And this was, again, the first time Jesus and Nathanael had ever met. So let's go on to verses 49 and 50. Well, let me just read them first here. Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And by the way, just to stop there, that's a reason why some believe that maybe there was more of a discussion than we actually see here, more dialogue, maybe more evidence provided to Nathanael about our Lord's life, position, history, so that he could actually recognize him as the promised Messiah. But in any case, it's a wonderful declaration from Nathanael to our Lord, calling him Rabbi, you're the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than that." So Nathanael called Jesus by three names. He called him Rabbi, he called him the Son of God, and he called him the King of Israel. Now, the word Rabbi literally means teacher. And Matthew's pronouncement that Jesus was a Messiah was really kind of contained in these three titles. A teacher, obviously the Son of God would be one, and also the King of Israel. And our Lord had an interesting response to that when Nathanael had made that proclamation. So it's just a very intriguing proclamation to make based on whatever they talked about, what we have in the scriptural record or other discussion points that may have gone on. Nathanael concluded, really after Philip's entreatment, just check it out for yourself. Just go take a look. So Nathanael acted on it. And that's a very good lesson in that. So by the way, just to get back to the come and see part, you know, if you have a witness discussion with someone, you know, your obligation, responsibility before the Lord is not to convince somebody. You can't do that. There's no biblical obligation for you to do that. But after presenting scriptures, after having a discussion, to maybe leave it with, well, check it out for yourself. It's like come and see. You know, make your own determination. There's only so much you can do. And if the individual who's listening has a listening ear, then they are going to pursue it and they are going to see for themselves. But it's a very nice, no pressure, not that somebody doesn't care, but I'm really not going to push you into this. Just do as you please, but, you know, I'm convinced, but check it out for yourself. So next, Jesus stated that Nathanael will see greater things. It's just an interesting dialogue after pronouncing in verse 49 that Jesus was the Messiah in, you know, so many words. Jesus said, almost an interesting question. You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? Well, you're going to see greater things than that. And by interpretation, I think our Lord was saying, or at least partially saying, there is so much more to see and understand. There's so much more that you will be experiencing that you have no idea about at the time. And really is beyond description. And then finally, the last verse, and I think Brother Byron and I will be finishing a little bit early. I think I sped up everything here. He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So that's an interesting statement by our Lord. It is the last of the few verses, the six verses in this only passage about their interaction. And at first glance, it might be kind of cryptic, kind of, well, what's he talking about here? But, you know, if you're familiar with the story of Jacob's ladder, you recognize the wording. It's a quote from Genesis 28, verses 10 to 15, about Jacob's ladder. Now, that is an entirely different topic, completely unto itself, that, you know, will not be part of our lesson this morning. But I think it would be profitable to at least just quickly look at it. So from Genesis 28, starting with verse 12, he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, and the God of Isaac. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. So the key phrase here, which our Lord mentioned to Nathanael, you can see the similarity, really identical. And the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. And then, of course, we have the Abrahamic promise here. Phrased, I think this is the NIV, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. That through Abraham, in the Abrahamic promise version, in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So it's a wonderful passage there. Here is a photograph of Jacob's ladder. Now, I'm not serious. There's no photograph. Looking up Jacob's ladder, you know, looking for, obviously a painting of it. There's all kinds of different versions. We have no idea what it actually, you know, will look like and what it, and so forth. But it's, this was my favorite, not picture, but painting of all of them. But anyway, we have to use our imagination. So again, going back to that last verse of 51, a quote from, obviously a quote now that we've read it, from Genesis 28 about Jacob's ladder. And, you know, that's a whole topic unto itself. I think I believe the common interpretation within the Bible Students Fellowship is that the ladder represents in some way, and we don't have the details of it, divine communication between the heavenly kingdom, the spiritual side, and the earth or the world during the kingdom period, or what we refer to, or what Acts refers to as the times of restitution. A couple of other points as we kind of wrap this up. This is a promise that Nathanael, in this brief conversation, a promise from our Lord that Nathanael, likely Bartholomew, who would be an apostle, will certainly see the kingdom work. And if Nathanael is Bartholomew, one of the 12 apostles, he will have the privilege of assisting the Lord in the kingdom as part of the bride of Christ. I would think that as an apostle, it will be in a very special way, but the promise of sharing with our Lord in the kingdom work in the heavenly realm is what, you know, we refer to as preceded by the high calling and, a wonderful, wonderful promise. So it all started out with, a simple response, and that was come and see, from Philip to Nathanael. Nathanael acted upon, he put his suspicions aside about Nazareth and was intrigued, pursued it on his own, and will certainly be richly rewarded for that interaction with our Lord and the way his life turned out based on making that decision.